Hey guys, and welcome to the Sober as Shit podcast. I'm Brandy, your host, and I'm just so grateful for you guys listening to my podcast today. All right. Hi, Sarah, and welcome to the Sober as Shit podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we know each other through Sober as Shit Recovery Group, but before that, and even to this day, we also know each other through another group. What group is that?
That's the Recovery Elevator Accountability Groups. It's every form of Recovery Elevator Accountability Group that's existed, I think.
That is true. We've been there since our sobriety dates are very similar, about 10 days apart, or exactly 10 days apart, right?
Yep.
So what is your sobriety date?
12/21/15.
Awesome. And we've known each other from the very beginning.
It's true.
All right.
We've stuck together for a while now.
Yeah, we have. Like, how that's such a rare occurrence. Like, it's pretty awesome.
We're the lucky ones, I say.
Yeah. So why don't you just go ahead and jump in and tell us how you got started in recovery, your story, like, you know, the usual when, where.
You got it. Well, let's see. I'm now 31. So at the time I was 29 years old and living in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I had been in a relationship with somebody who was sober for a bit over a year at that point. And having also grown up in a household with lots of addiction, I had always sort of been mindful that there was a possibility that I might be an alcoholic. So as I progressed through my drinking days, I had tried many times to moderate my drinking and to quit at different times. I even in the last few months here found a piece of paper from probably 7 years ago now that said, "Today I didn't drink," and then had a bunch of dates written down. The worst part was when a date would be written down and then crossed out. So like I thought that I was going to make it and then I didn't. But anyway, I'd been in this relationship for about a year and, we were living together and, you know, I had realized that, my drinking was just such a core part of my existence. You know, like when we moved in together, I had asked him like, is it going to bother you if I drink? Maybe I just won't bring it, you know, I just won't bring it in the house. And I kind of like made this preemptive promise. And within like a week of living together, I started bringing beer into the house. And so, which he never really called me on or anything, but we would have some conversations about it from time to time. And so anyway, obviously with my sober date being December 21st, it was getting to be the holidays and my partner had actually left to go see his family for Christmas. So I was by myself and at the time in Minnesota, they didn't do Sunday sales and he was leaving on a Sunday. So I had preemptively bought my bottle of vodka and was pretty eager to get him out of the house so that I could start drinking. And I still had to work that day. And honestly, I wouldn't say that I was blacked out, but I don't recall much of what happened during the day because I was basically still drunk while I was at work. And then when I got home, I wanted to finish that bottle. And somewhere in that last drink, I just realized that this was not right. It didn't feel right anymore. Something in my body shifted and I was like, this is really making me sick and it's going to kill me. And I realized that I cared more about my life than I did about my alcohol. And I mean, I really do believe that I had a spiritual experience at that point. And that was my bottom. And I said, okay, I need to do the thing that I know works for a lot of people, which is a 12-step program. And so I started going to meetings that day. But before I could get to the meeting, because it was late at night, I started listening to Recovery Elevator. And that gave me a lot of comfort because it was sort of like a meeting in my head and I could listen to other people who were having similar experiences or had had similar experiences to what I was having right at that moment. And I felt very comforted and it's kind of just been nonstop since then. I just think about recovery every day and I just keep doing this deal and feeling really grateful to have today 854 continuous days of sobriety.
Awesome. That's a lot of days of sobriety and they're continuous. Like not many people can say that.
I'm very grateful.
So you mentioned that you wrote down the days that you didn't drink to keep track. Is that something you had like heard somewhere, or is it just something you try to do as one of your ways of trying to keep track or moderate?
Well, you know, I think at that point I was pretty aware that there were different methods of self-improvement, and that tracking whatever kind of change you were trying to make was one way of really kind of keeping yourself accountable. So self-accountability was really what I was kind of going for with it. And I think at that point, that was right around when I was starting to try to improve my overall like physical health too. So it was the first of a few different attempts at being healthier and also being sober, or at least dry. Later on, I had another period where I actually was dry for about 5 or 6 months, because it was kind of part of a diet, and that worked pretty well in terms of not drinking, but it didn't work so well when it came to my attitude about things. And I still was pretty crabby, let's say, during that period of time. And, you know, gradually I sort of convinced myself that I could drink a little bit here and there, and very quickly a little bit here and there went back to my old behaviors.
For sure. So what was it like in the first 30 days of sobriety?
Interesting. So the first 30 days, I would say, were all about trying to build new habits. And I took the approach of just sort of throwing everything at the wall and seeing what would stick. So, you know, I discovered really quickly that I had a lot of extra time to kill because I wasn't using my time drinking or hungover. So I started, you know, throwing yoga into the mix, getting more fastidious around my house. You know, I started cleaning my house more frequently. I slept a lot after I was able to sleep. The first week or so was tough, but after that it got much better. I started building better sleep routines, and I was going to meetings when I could. And otherwise I was just continuing to go to my job and live my normal everyday life and just really focus on keeping going, staying sober. I also joined the accountability group within, I think, 4 or 5 days of getting sober. So I very quickly started incorporating online recovery as part of my way of staying on track, because I couldn't get to meetings every single day.
Okay, awesome. Did anybody ever tell you that you drank too much?
That's an interesting question too. I wouldn't say that anybody flat out said it to me, but I think it was probably noticeable at times that I drank more than perhaps the average. But honestly, I was an isolationist drinker for the most part. So nobody really saw how much I drank, except for people who were living with me.
So how much did you drink?
Yeah, that varied a lot. On a good day, on like a low count day, I would say only like 4 or 6 beers. But on average, I was probably drinking more like 10. Or if I was drinking vodka, it might be a pint or a traveler size, you know, bottle of vodka in one night. So it really varied. I found over time too that it didn't really matter how much I drank. I still wasn't really getting the feeling that I was chasing.
Yeah, I can relate to that. You keep drinking in hopes that you'll get that oblivion, but it never happens. So for sure. So you mentioned 12-step program, and you've mentioned online recovery. Do you do any other recovery programs or accountability groups today that help you stay sober, or meditation, anything along those lines?
Right. Well, I would definitely say I have a lot of techniques in my program toolbox that are not just 12-step or online. So I do meditate every day. I'm still trying to get on the yoga track, but I walk very often. I'm still like working on learning to drive, so I still walk kind of everywhere, which is good for my health. And other than that, I just try to stay in touch with sober people as much as possible, because it really helps me. And I like being helpful to other people too. So, you know, the recovery groups are really great for that, getting to stay in touch with people who are a little bit newer than me and who maybe I can help.
For sure. What is one rule? Not that you don't have more than one rule, but what's one rule just off the top of the head that you live by today?
One rule that I see, that's funny, because I just try not to live by rules for the most part. I feel like I used to make all these rules about how I would drink or how I would live. And now I just kind of try to take, I guess my rule is just to take things as they come and be willing to accept whatever is going to happen.
And that's an awesome rule. A rule not to have rules, but to live in the moment.
There you go. You got it.
What's your thought on relapse?
Man, it happens. I've been very blessed not to have a relapse during this sobriety. And I feel like that has a lot to do with just continuing to be open and willing to do whatever it's going to take to stay away from that next drink. But I certainly, you know, I guess that's why I mentioned about like trying to track and doing all these other things in the past. I tried a lot of different methods to not drink because I knew it was detrimental to my health. I knew it made me feel bad. I knew it wouldn't, you know, it's a depressant and I'm a depressive anyway. And, you know, there were lots of reasons not to drink, and yet I couldn't get myself to stop for any continuous period of time in the past. And so it felt like a lot of day ones for me too. And it's worth trying every day. And that's all you can do. It's going to happen maybe. And if it does, you just got to get back up. They say fall down 7 times, get up 8. And I'm a firm believer in just keep trying. I'm always been a person who just tries.
Can't stop trying. You mentioned the word depressive. Have you found that in sobriety, your depression is easier to manage or to live with?
I have, although it has still shown up from time to time. So like you said, I'm just 10 days behind you. So we both have about 28 months of sobriety. And I would say in that period of time, I've probably experienced maybe 3 total months of depression at various periods throughout my sobriety. So when I start to feel depressed, I've learned to acknowledge it much more quickly. You know, I'm a lot more in tune with my feelings overall. And I have these great tools that help me to stay sober. They work really well on depression too. So as long as I keep doing my routines and accepting that I maybe don't feel the best right now, it passes. And, you know, it's a great truth of depression that you can be in a period of depression and still have good feelings, you know, at a random time throughout the day or throughout the period, whatever, however long it lasts. And so you kind of just have to hold on to that and just be grateful for the good stuff when it happens.
That's an awesome point of view. What is 2 of your favorite recovery books?
2 of my favorite recovery books. First favorite recovery book is definitely The Big Book. That's the one that I read it probably on day 3, and I still read it, and it works for me. You know, it kind of lays out all the guidelines of how to get sober and stay that way, and not just be sober, but be happy. And that's what's working for me. There's also a great daily reflections book that goes along. It's sort of a companion through that 12-step program. And I'm a big fan of reading those reflections every day and getting some insights about myself. And I'll say outside of that, let's see. You know, I have Russell Brand's book and I haven't gotten all the way through that yet, but he's got a great attitude about things. And I, you know, I'm a big fan of, I know of several comedians who are sober, and I always really appreciate a comedian's outlook on sobriety. So I think that's one of the best things about getting sober too, is we rediscover our sense of humor. So
100%. I love that you mentioned The Big Book, because we've had this discussion many times how, like, when we're in recovery groups, everybody's always big to mention all these huge lists of books, and I'm guilty of this too. But The Big Book is like, it's always in my mind, but it's almost like we're afraid to mention it. So thank you for that. Because you, when you were talking about depression, it's like we can use The Big Book to work with our depression, our anxiety as well. So And Russell's book is amazing. Adding the effort to working the steps is just like this free, it's just this freeing experience.
It is.
What is 2 things that you've learned about yourself in recovery?
2 things I've learned about myself in recovery. Number 1, I would say I have learned to accept myself as I am and where I'm at right now. I would also say that I've learned that I can do hard things. and without the aid of alcohol, because I have faith now, not just in myself, but in my higher power and in sort of the universe at large. And being able to just be present in the moment allows me to just accept situations and keep walking through life with less fear and less concern about how it's all going to work out. There was something else I was going to say about that, though. Oh, I was going to say that, you know, what we tell ourselves is something that we believe more strongly than what we hear from other people. You know, and even growing up, if you hear the same message every day from your parents, even if it's a really positive one, if 30 times a day in your head you're saying the opposite, you're going to believe yourself more. And that was my experience. You know, growing up, I'd always hear people say, oh, Sarah, you're so smart, or you're so creative, you're so talented. But in my head, I would think, well, I'm just a fat loser, you know? And so now I'm at the point where when I meet people and they say, hey, what do you do? I say, I'm a painter. And I'm truly like embracing my identity as an artist, as a creative person, as a person in recovery, you know, and I'm happy, joyous, and free. And I keep telling myself these affirmations because I know that I'm going to believe myself even more strongly than what anybody else tells me. And the more I believe the good things about myself, the more people see those good things.
That is so spot on. And I think that's why one of the reasons I always say I'm ready and I'm an alcoholic, because it's like, I'm so proud of it. And Yes, that was like perfect.
Well, I wouldn't be the person I am if I wasn't an alcoholic. If I hadn't gone through that process and come out the other side of it, it really is like a rebirth. And now being the person I am today, I mean, I'm a 180 from what I used to be when it comes to my attitude about things. And, you know, even just the way my life looks, it's way different. And I'm so grateful for that.
It's a wonderful thing. What is one thing on your bucket list now that you're sober? I know you have some ideas floating in your head.
I do. One thing that I'm hoping to start accomplishing is bringing, so I mentioned art, and art is really powerful to me. I think creativity has become a huge part of my recovery. And I know that art therapy is something that helps a lot of people. And I would like to find a way to bring art therapy to more disadvantaged groups, and especially people in recovery. And I know that there are some organizations that are doing this, but I just would like to start being more of service to people in my community by bringing some creative relief. And so that's something that's on my list. Other than that, I love to travel. In sobriety, I've traveled to Paris and Iceland and had a fantastic time on that trip. And I've also moved across the country. So I'm just hoping to do some more traveling. I'm working on applying for artist residencies right now, kind of around the world, and hoping to, fingers crossed, get accepted somewhere so that I can do a little bit of traveling and keep doing my creative work.
That is really freaking amazing. Like, how awesome is that? And you've traveled to European countries who are pretty known for like wine and drinking and like that kind of party culture. Did that impact you at all? Like, how was that?
It was great. I had a fantastic time. I will say that one thing that I did before I ever left was I got in touch with somebody that we know in recovery who also travels to France fairly frequently. And I asked her for her recommendations and whether or not she went to any meetings while she was there. And she actually said, no, I'm so happy, I never need to go to meetings. But I actually looked up the list before I left and had the directions on how to get there. And I took 2 days during my trip, the first and then I think the fifth day that I was in Paris. And I got up early before everyone else, got on the train, went to my meeting. And that was just a wonderful way to start the day, talking to people in the program halfway across the world. It was great fun, especially because I connected to somebody who was from the same neck of the woods, Midwest region that I was living in. So that was really just super fun. I really loved doing that. And then, you know, beyond that, yes, it's wine culture is huge in France. And so smoking, honestly, like you see tobacconists everywhere. And we had just quit smoking when we left for that trip. So that made us, you know, it was a little bit nerve wracking at times to be on nicotine withdrawal, but the place is so beautiful and it's so wonderful to just be present in the experience of being there that, you know, if I could have one glass of wine and enjoy that and be done with it, that would be great. You know, I'd fit right into Parisian culture if I could do that. But the fact of the matter is that my vivacity is still here without the alcohol, and perhaps more so, and I can enjoy and be live like a Parisian even without the wine. So I had a great time, and we went to Normandy as well and went to Mont Saint-Michel, and it was just gorgeous. I mean, I highly recommend traveling sober. I mean, find some meetings, find your tribe, and just go for it. It's great fun.
That's amazing. I love how you had your meetings in your pocket ready to go, because like even just having it with you and the knowledge, like it's kind of like a weight lifted. You're not in hiding. You know where to go if you need to go. And I love that you went. Like, that is my goal. I want to go to a meeting on every continent, because like that's my life. I love it. It's absolutely amazing.
That sounds fun. Let's do it.
Definitely. And then I'm just going to ask you one more question. What's one thing that I haven't already asked you that you would love to share with listeners?
One more thing. Oh gosh. I don't know. I feel like you've asked so many great questions today, Brandy. One thing. Well, I guess one thing that you didn't ask that you could is, what I would recommend for somebody who's in early sobriety. And what I would say is, if you're just starting to get sober, or you're just starting to question whether or not you need to get sober, give it a try, and give it a good, honest try, and stick with it for 60 to 90 days. I would say I was at day 60 when I knew that I was on the right track. And that was the point at which I went public and said, you know, hey guys, I quit drinking. This is my life now. And it's really important to me. And it's really, you know, making my life better. And I knew even at 60 days, what I still know today, which is that I am a much better person, happier, healthier, joyous, and free by being sober, but just not ingesting alcohol. And for anybody who's listening who says, well, that's easy, then great, just do it and see how much better you feel in 60 or 90 days. And if it sounds like it's really hard, then do that too, because you can do hard things. I have faith in you, and I believe that you can do it.
Awesome. That's a good one. Just do it. Just try it. Thank you so much for doing an interview with me.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.